God has anointed us to do according to his will, according to how his son, his only begotten son, laid out for us to do. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. So we have to be in the same mindset, you know, in the same mindset. We have to go through that same door, that same door. And we know that Jesus is the door. Glory to God. So saints of God, we have a lot of work to do. We have missed out on a lot of things, but our job is to be responsible and to take our responsibilities serious and to bring people into safety. And the only safety is in God. We're going to have to bring sinners to repentance and to the kingdom of God. That's how they get into the kingdom of God. We have to get them to repentance. And we have to bring up that Romans 10, 9 and 10. It's a confession there. And you're going to have to confess that you know who God is, that you know who Jesus is, and that you know that God raised him on the third day. My, 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 my. Raise him up on that third day. And then you have to ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive you of your sins. And this is how we bring ourselves into the place where God wants us to be. And this is how we're supposed to bring sinners into repentance unto God. Amen. Lord God, we thank you. And we're going to bring them on into heaven. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. And God said we're supposed to bring heaven down to this earth. You know, he told us to go into the world and preach the word, preach the gospel in season and out of season to all nations. We're supposed to preach this gospel to, you know. So church, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. We still haven't got into that place where we can heal all manner of diseases. Because when he told us to go, he said, I want you to go. I want you to heal all manner of diseases. I want you to cure all sicknesses. Saints of God, don't you know that we have a lot of work to do as the church of God? And we have to get doing it. We have to be doing it right now. He gave us authority over all evil spirits to cast them out. We can cast out demons and devils with the power that God has given us. We have the power to take out sickness and diseases and to cast out them demons and devils. They don't have to ride in people. You know, you can't medicate them out. You can't give them medicine and take them out. You can't legislate demons and devils and hate and bigotry. You can't put it on a piece of paper and say, well, this is what we're not going to do. That won't work because that stuff is spiritual. It's spirit. Those are spirits just running around and ruling people and working in people. So we're going to have to learn to do it the way God said. We're going to have to do the things that he said do. He said we can even raise the dead. We have power. Listen at this. We have power over all the power of the devil. And you know what else he said? And nothing, I mean nothing, shall by any means hurt us. And I mean it can't reach us in any kind of way. And you know, as people of the world and people of education, we know any means any. Now, any way that somebody could come and kill you or destroy you or hurt you, none of those ways are going to work. Because God said he gave us power over, listen at this, A-L-L, all of the power of the enemy. And he said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, that's a promise. That's a promise from God. Now, saints of God, who don't want that promise? Who don't want to have that promise? I'm telling you, God is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think or say. That's what God is able to do. And you know, that scripture that I gave you just a few minutes ago, we have power over all the power of the enemy. It came out of Luke 10 and 19. I want to make sure I give you scripture so that you can go back and read it. Because, you know, Satan is busy right now. He's busy. And he's trying to do everything he can to destroy our nation, to destroy the people that's in the nation. He's trying and he's using people. See, let me tell you something. He's not, Satan is bound. And he's held in chain.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. This great chapter of faith and faithful folk and faith heroes. I want to revisit again, but verse 5 is intensely powerful because of the personal properties of faith in this story. One of the things that in going over this chapter over and again that stands out to me in this particular verse is the power of faith and a man in his fellowship with God, so much so that it pleased God enough for God to take him from earth straight on up to glory, because he did not want to end the fellowship. Now, oh, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of God. By faith. Keep that before you, because by faith is going to be the term by which all of these wonderful things in the 11th chapter unfold. By faith, through faith. Faith is the power, it is the medium, it is that source by which God is gratified and glorified in the believer's life through faith. Whatever you want to be, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to become in the spiritual life of God is going to need faith. It's going to need that power that God himself has given to each and every man to succeed in every area of life as it relates to his faith. There are so many things the Word says about faith, about getting faith, about growing faith, about your faith being holy, about your faith being strong, on and on and on. faith, faith, faith. So if it says all of these things, things that you can do, mountains you can move, things you can speak, all of this by faith, why aren't we activating, utilizing more of our faith? Why are we depending on more things that God himself has not given us to depend on than that he has? He has given us his word, and by faith that word comes alive in us. It's already alive. It's already real. But it comes alive in us and activates the things in us when faith is added to our reality. Now, again, this is a personal testimony of faith here. By faith, Enoch was translated. Well, what would be helpful for us to understand first is, what does translated mean? Enoch was changed into something from something else. It was a metamorphical experience, if you will. One of the reasons why he was translated was because Scripture is clear that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. If flesh and blood can't inherit heaven, can't go to heaven, is not prepared or fit for heaven, then he who was made of flesh and blood could not be a heaven dweller. Unless God did some changing, all that he was, to make him fit to be able to live in heaven. Heaven is a spiritual place. He was a physical body. He had a spirit in him, but he was not whole and complete to fellowship with God wholly and completely. But what he did have in his natural body and in his natural person was a spirit that was so desirous of fellowshipping with God, of being one with God, that God noted his heart and his spirit on one accord of desiring to be with God and to be more like God. And his story is found in the 5th chapter of Genesis. When you get a chance, you'll get it. It's not but a few verses. And you begin around about the 21st verse, and it'll share with you. He doesn't have a long story, a long history. It basically says that he was 65 years old, had some children. After that, he walked with God 300 years. It says basically that he lived 365 years. 365 years, 300 of those years, when he met God, he never lost contact. Now look at what this word says, because in his translation, in his change, I believe that while the end result might have been instantaneous, the constant change was daily. Daily. Something's wrong if you walk with God every day and don't change. Something's wrong if you walk with God 30 days and don't change. Something's wrong if you walk with God at all and don't change. So for 300 years, walking with God daily caused a change day by day by day by day. More and more and more, he became like God. He became one with God. His desire was to be with God continuously. Now, keep in mind now, he had a family. He had children. He had a life. So this is for these folk who think that he ain't have nothing going on in his life, and all he had to do every day, all day, was spend time with God and nobody else. That's not the case. Here's what's important. He made time for God. He made time for God. May I say to you, my brothers and sisters, listen, If you make time for God, regardless of the time, if you make that time all that it ought to be, and you are present in that time, in that moment, in that separated, set aside time for God, then God will get something out of it, as will you. And you'll discover that God will increase your very faith. He will increase your very essence when you learn how to commune with God on a daily basis. Well, let's look again at what this man did that was so impressive to God. Because first of all, the word starts off by faith. Enoch was translated. Well, here's what we do know. He didn't translate himself. Because there are many days I would have been translated. I'd be like, beam me up, Scotty. Yeah, yo, that's Star Trek talk. Y'all don't know over there. I would have been translated. I'd gotten on out of here. Amen. But that's not on me to do. That's on God. And God, listen, you got to understand, he's the first man that God translated. So he's the first that God's ever done this to and with. So what made God do this? Well, it starts with the first word, faith. What I want you to know about his faith was profound. He had faith that was profound. It was very deep, if you will. It was very unique. It was unfathomable, if you will, because of the depth and profundity of his faith. His faith was so uncommon and so unusual that God himself enjoyed this man's faith as much as this man did. Listen, faith comes from God. Faith is of spiritual matter. That means when God is moved by your faith, you've done something. You've had faith to the point and to the degree that God himself honors you because you have honored God in the faith realm, in that realm that you cannot touch, in that realm with the natural eyes that you cannot see, in that realm that you have to be spiritual in to really get and to understand the things of God. This is the realm that this man excelled in because his interest was God. Was God. Man, when you begin to make God your interest daily, when you begin to desire him a little more today than you did yesterday, when there are just things you want to share today that you didn't want to share yesterday, when you become closer to God, there are so many more things God becomes closer to you with and shares with you. And so you will find out God begins to let you down into the deep treasures of his truth. He begins to show you things that you've not seen, that you've not heard. But he reveals those to those of us who not only have his spirit, but who are walking in faith, who desire God in the inward parts. Powerful. See, this is not the kind of message that a whole lot of you won't shout on, because that ain't what you really want to hear. But this is the kind of message you need to hear. This is the kind of message that will change your life. You can look from this one verse and see from the beginning of the verse to the end of the verse, this man's life was truly changed. Now, some of you might not want to go this far, but I can promise you, faith in the way that this man operated in faith changed every aspect of his life. Could you not see one day at the end of his life when he was becoming so close with God that he got a feeling that something was about to happen? And I don't know what morning it was, he told Sister Enoch, He told the children and the grandchildren and the great grands, listen, listen, I'm going to be leaving here soon. Where you going? I'm going up yonder. You know, I don't know what he said. I don't know how he felt. I don't know if God gave him some inkling of that time or God just, the Bible says, took him. That meant God wanted him. You don't take something you don't want. He didn't say, God, he asked God, can I come and join you? God got so excited that God, they got so excited in conversation one day, I just imagine God just wrapped him up in his arm, translated him between earth and glory, and brought him on to his house. That's the kind of wonderful thing that God wants us to be so wrapped up in him, in our faith, that listen, no matter what's going on in our lives, it takes second place to God. No matter what the problems are, no matter what the promises are, no matter what the goods are, what the bads are, it takes second place to God. What else do we see in the text? Not only did he have faith that was profound, but he had fellowship that was phenomenal. It was excellent. It was unusual, uncommon. It was the kind of fellowship that God had not known in the earth realm. Not like this. Well, preacher, why do you say not like this? Because he was the first one he ever took from glory and translated like this. And it was clear that he did it because of his faith. Well, it wasn't just the faith alone. It was the faith that brought about the fellowship. Because the only way he could fellowship with God was through faith. He wasn't looking at a human being. He wasn't looking at another person. He had to fellowship with God in the spirit. He had to fellowship with God by faith. He had to fellowship with God in the spiritual part, in the inward parts. He had to fellowship with God on a higher plane. And that took more focus. That took more concentration. That took more presence. That meant he had to be more clear about what he really wanted. You know, when you fellowship with God, you'll find yourself getting lost in the conversation, and you'll be talking, and folk look at you, and you talking, and they don't see nobody around. They start doing stuff like, yeah, he's a little bit off there. Then somebody, oh, it's all right to talk to yourself as long as you don't answer yourself. What's the difference? What is the difference? No, I'm not talking to myself. You just can't see the one I'm talking to. He's ever present with me. I mean, sometimes I'm talking with God, have a fellowship with God, bust out laughing. Folks, what you laughing at? Nah, it's kind of had to be there. You wouldn't understand it, you know. I mean, that's the kind of inward fellowship and focus and joy. I mean, I'm not, some people think it's such a bore to be with God. And some people think, man, it requires so much and you can't have fun and you got to be holier than thou and you got to be all crouched with your head down, bowing your face to the earth. You can't talk, you can't do nothing. No, it's not all of that. It's some of that sometime, yes. But fellowship is so much more than that. It's communicating with God on all levels about all things because you know he knows and you're sure that what he knows is best. Every situation Enoch had, he brought it up before God. God, what do you think? That baby boy of mine, I started to, but I thought about it. What do you think, God? God fellowships with you like that. How many real people know God tells you and talks to you like this? There are just some things you can't handle, you tell God about, and God gives you the answer to them. And you're like, thank you, Lord Jesus. I never thought about it like that. If you tell him, if you share with him, if you fellowship with him, if you commune with him, if you connect with him, God will show you. Share with you, tell you, talk to you. And they just grew more and more intimate together. And my brothers and sisters, when that happened, it became such a wonderful thing that it took on a life of its own. You get to a point where you're so close with God that you're more closer to him than you are to yourself. It takes on such a whole new level of life that God becomes the first one you talk with in the morning and the last one you talk with at night. Not to mention every break you got in between. You don't want to give up the opportunity, but you got some things you got to do. And so while you do them, he's on your mind, but you're still doing what you got to do. And the first moment you get a chance, you do like you do when you used to be in love. You pick up the phone and say, now where were we? I just called to say, what you going to cook today? It sounds good to say I love you, but you know, you just everything. Just hang up the phone. Let your ear rest. Ear get to burning. God talking to you, but it's in your bosom. It's underneath the skin. It's a feeling so deep. And so listen, my brothers and sisters, when I was challenged, let me tell you, I would have lost my mind if I had not developed a more intimate and loving fellowship with God. There were times I felt depression coming upon me with chains, trying to bind me. I felt myself crying for no reason at all, sitting there. I felt like hell was encamping around me, and I felt like nobody could help me. I was calling and couldn't get an answer sometime. But it wasn't until I started yielding my spirit man to the openness of God and the truth of God and crying out to God and telling him how I truly feel and repenting and saying to God, God, you know what I'm dealing with. And listen, I can't handle this by myself. And while he did not tell me everything I wanted to know at once, he started with just showing up in an intimate way. And I forgot to ask him why when he was in my presence, because it felt so good. And Psalm 16:11 says that thou would show me the path of life. I said, what you saying, God? You're going to show me the path of life. See, what we don't understand is the path of life isn't always the way we think it is. I'm talking about real life. In his presence is fullness of joy. And in his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And it wasn't until the intimate fellowship, and I've said this to folk, and I know they don't believe me because I can tell where they are spiritually. But as strongly and fiercely independent as I was, and having that I don't need nobody to do nothing for me kind of mentality, and didn't depend on nobody, and had that mentality, if I got to beg you, well, I don't need to ask you to do nothing for me. I'll do it myself. God gave me two hands and two, you know, all that kind of stuff, until a point where God gave me a situation where I had to depend on him first and foremost and trust who he led in my life to be a part of this intimate change and know that God had this thing fixed. And then God started allowing me to see things in people I'd never seen before. He'd allow me to hear things I'd never heard before. He started allowing me to see a real picture and not just the face of a familiar image.